All right, praise the Lord, everyone. All right, we are going to discuss a short topic on today of the theology of healing. The theology of healing. Very interesting term, a theology of healing. Of course, the word theology, what does the word theology mean? Very good, the study of God, the study of God. Ology is study, theo is God. So actually we're studying of God's healing. And the first part of the theology of healing is number one, does God heal? Does God heal? That's a very important question. There's an entire denomination of Christians that do not believe that God heals. Isn't that crazy? There's an entire denomination that exists that does not believe that God heals. They're called the Church of Christ. You've heard of the Church of Christ? Very popular group. They're everywhere. They do not believe in healing. They do not believe in miracles. They said those days have already passed. They said that God only did healing before the Bible was fully complete. But when the Bible was fully completed, they say all miracles, healings, and spiritual gifts ceased. That's their theology. But, you know, I believe that God does heal. And I believe from experience. So my theology of healing says God heals, yes. Now the next part in your theology of healing is the second part, and it should be how. If God does heal, how does God heal? And that's a great question. How does God heal? You know, I asked earlier, how does God heal? And the number one answer I got was faith. And that's true. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have got to have faith. If you believe that God heals, you have to have faith that God will heal you. You know, you've got to have that faith. And I think Sister Yvette brought the illustration is, you know, thy faith has saved thee, you know. And so we have all this kind of stuff in the Word of God where faith is an important part in healing. Unfortunately, a lot of TV preachers end their whole theology of healing with faith. And they tell you, if you pray for God to heal you and you don't get healed, then it's because you didn't have what? Faith. Or something was wrong with your faith. You know, and that's a terrible thing to tell people. Because a lot of people have faith that can move a mountain when it comes to God healing. But yet, God may not heal. You know, then you have destroyed somebody's whole theology of healing that God... Well, number one, God does heal by faith. It takes faith to get the ball rolling with God. Your increase in faith or the magnitude of your faith does not move God to heal you more or less. You've been told that though, right? If you have, you know, great faith and build up this faith and that God would do it because of your faith, but that's not how it works with God. You know, even if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can tell a whole mountain be removed and cast into a sea, you know, and don't doubt. So faith is very important, but it's not the only thing that's important. Number two, how does God heal? God heals through faith. And number two is the obvious one. God heals through prayer. God heals through prayer. And what is the difference of going beyond faith into prayer? Who said that? It's asking. It's putting action to your faith. It's not just having, I know God can do it. I know God can do it. I know God can do it. Did you ask him to do it? No, I haven't asked him yet. Well, you've got to also ask God, and you got to ask God through faith. I mean through prayer. Number three, in the theology of healing, does God heal? Yes. How does God heal? Faith. He heals through prayer. And he also heals. He heals through his word. The word of God. God. And this is the largest part of the theology of healing that is ignored by so many people. When I say that God heals by the word of God, I don't mean that you take the Bible and you beat it on your head till your headache goes away. You know, I'm talking about that God in his word has so many ways that he has healed human beings. So many ways he provided healing. Understand this. God's word says about the human being, we humans are what's called tripart or triparte. One of our three parts. Number one, body. But you're not just a body. You're also something else. Soul. And you're also something else. Spirit. Over-the-counter medicines are great, but they really only take care of the symptoms that you're suffering until your healing takes place. For example, if you have a cold and you take NyQuil, you are just as contagious. Well, if you have the flu, take NyQuil. You are just as contagious on that NyQuil as you were before you took NyQuil, right? You're just as contagious. You may not be coughing. Your stuffy head may alleviate. Your headache may, your body aches may go away, but you're still sick, right? So we've learned with modern medicine on how to heal the symptoms, but that does not heal the disease. Okay. So the Bible reveals, number one, that we are made of body, soul, and spirit. Unfortunately, the devil knows this too. The devil knows completely how we're made up. And so our sicknesses come from three areas. Either we have a sickness of body, a sickness of soul, or a sickness of spirit. And I used to wonder about that for a long time, because I thought that the spirit man, which is perfect, how could the spirit man get sick? How could the spirit man have some kind of affliction or illness or whatever? But Paul does have a saying, and I gotta put my hand on it for you. But he asks he asks us as the body of Christ to try to make sure we cleanse ourselves of all uncleanness in soul and in spirit. In soul and in spirit. Let me get that reference for you. In soul and in spirit. How do you do what? It's part of our theology of healing. We're getting to that. We're getting to all that. Okay. Does everybody follow so far? Okay. So, the word of God reveals that the human being is made up of body, soul, and spirit. The devil also knows we're made of body, soul, and spirit. So we should know what the devil knows. Amen. God's revealed to us in his word. Now we understand that when doctors take care of sicknesses, what part of the human being do doctors take care of? The body. Medical doctors exclusively work on the body. Sorry, this is medical. MDs. MDs work exclusively on the body. But the Bible reveals that there is a connection between your soul and your body. I wish that you would prosper and be in what? Good health, even as your soul prospers. There's a connection, which means that, and medical science has proven this also, if your soul is sick, it can manifest symptoms in your body. Okay? So a medical doctor is really only geared to take care of the things of the body. The medical doctor doesn't take care of things of the soul. So that means, here's an example. If I have rage and bitterness inside of me, and I develop an ulcer, and the ulcer is a physical manifestation of a soul sickness. Your soul is made of your what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. When your mind, will, and emotions are out of whack, it can cause sickness in your body. Okay? It's all part of the theology of healing. I'm going somewhere. Okay, so if you have, for example, an ulcer, what can the doctor do? Can the doctor treat your soul? No, he can't. All he can do is treat the symptom in your body. He can treat the ulcer. So a lot of times, as believers, sometimes we pray for the wrong things. Lord, I've got an ulcer. Oh Lord, please heal the ulcer. That's asking for healing in the body. When we need to go to the healing of the soul. Why do I have that ulcer? Lord God, why am I so angry? Why am I so unforgiving? Why am I so stressed out? And then when you begin to apply your theology of healing to the area of your illness, eventually your body will catch up to it. Okay? Sister Elizabeth.
Tend not to recognize that aspect.
Correct.
That they actually have a sickness in the body, and that only they themselves know they have it, but they really don't want to.
Correct.
Because they have to change.
Correct. Remember, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's a lot of things that we perish foolishly for because we don't know correctly about. Here's another example of a sickness of the soul that leads to symptoms in your body. When my father had a stroke, I have a book I really recommend. Let me write this down for you. Everybody should get this book. It's a big old thick book, but it's really good. It's called A More Excellent Way. Very good, Brother Lewis. A More Excellent Way. And it's by Henry W. Wright. And it comes with a free DVD, you know, that samples his discussions, and he's very, very powerful to watch. But A More Excellent Way, the theme of it is be in health. And he wants to, he was a pre-med student that got called to the ministry, so he has a background in biology and training and medicine and things like that, but the Lord called him to ministry. And his ministry, Be in Health, is about trying to help people prevent getting diseases rather than helping people just cure the ones that they have. But he is very successful in helping people get over their illnesses and their sicknesses. Comes with the DVD. Yeah, it comes with the DVD. Oh, you get my tapes, by the way? Okay, all right. A More Excellent Way by Henry Wright. Very, very good. But when my father had his stroke, I picked that book. And I said, I wonder what it says on strokes, you know. And it was very powerful. It says people that often suffer from strokes suffer from self-rejection. Yeah, self-rejection and self-loathing. Self-loathing, like a self-hatred, self-rejection. And that's interesting because I could actually see that in my father. He's a very, very bitter person. He's always bitter, just always bitter. And I don't know why he's so bitter. But there is some self-rejection and self-loathing. He's had a lot of regrets over his life. He's had a lot of regrets just over so many things, so many choices and actions. And so I remember that when Pastor Jefferson, Brother Lewis, and Brother Dale and I went on out there and we were praying for him and we were ministering to him, he was crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. And it brought to mind self-rejection, self-loathing. And I ministered to him saying, Dad, the Lord promised he's going to have mercy on you. Not because you deserve it, but because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Have you ever shown mercy? Yes. God's promise is for you. God is going to have mercy on you. And you could see the weight of the world just lift off of his shoulders. You know, and a lot of times, you know, you'll see this book is an excellent book. But when you deal with the symptom of the soul, you will affect the aspect of the body. And by the way, my father's healing is coming along very rapidly. Before that, we got out there to minister to him. The doctor said he would never move his left side again. He was going to be completely paralyzed and this, that, and the other. And, you know, yesterday when I went to visit him, not yesterday, Friday, I went to visit him today also. He wasn't feeling tired today. But he was lifting his arm all the way up, lifting his leg all the way up. It was just, you know, a miracle. You know, but you got to deal with, doctors only deal with the body. There was nothing they could do for his body to help him. Therefore, if it was just left up to the doctor, he would have never moved his left side ever again. But when you're able to deal with the soul, you're able to release healing to the body. See that? So a lot of times, we get into all these different things of sicknesses. Thank you. We get into all these things with sicknesses because of a problem in our soul, a problem in our emotion, a problem in our minds. That's why the Bible says, do not let a root of bitterness, God bless you, do not let a root of bitterness develop inside of you. You know, a root of bitterness. That's one of the things that the Bible says don't. You know what bitterness is? Bitterness is when you let any negative emotion fester, that it becomes part of you and you don't know how to let it free. It's like a stronghold in your emotions, you know. That's why you got to make sure that when somebody offends you, you forgive them, you know. Because if you don't, that thing they did to you, it's got you trapped. And next thing you know, 10 years has gone by. But you can't get it out of your mind what so-and-so did to you. You can't get it out of your mind. You don't know how to get it out of your mind. You've been in institutions, you've been on medication, you've been with all kind of sickness, all kind of problems, all kind of things. But if only you had let it go from the beginning, it would not have affected your body. You know, you would not have allowed the things in your soul to affect your body, because all a medical doctor can do is treat the symptoms. I'm a strong believer in psychiatry, but I really am not big on psychiatrists. I don't. I mean, I'd rather have psychology rather, but not psychiatry. And the reason is, a psychiatrist, you tell a psychiatrist, I'm feeling so down, I'm so depressed, and they whip out a pen and they write you a prescription. Here you go, that'll make you feel better. But you still have not dealt with the problem in your soul. All you're doing is treating the symptom that's being displayed in your body. But a psychologist, which is not as popular anymore, because psychiatrists have a quick fix. If you're feeling angry, here's a pill. You're feeling depressed, here's a pill. If you're feeling unforgiven and you feel rejected, here's a pill. It's not handling your soul. It's just treating your body. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. Psychology is different. Psychology says, a true psychologist, a good psychologist says, okay, you're feeling depressed. Why? And we begin to get to the root cause of why you're depressed. Well, I'm depressed because, you know, my best friend moved away from town. Why does that depress you? Well, because, you know, when I was a child, you know, all my friends used to leave me. Why does that depress you? Because my dad left me when I was 4 years old, and I've been abandoned, you know. And then now we got something to work with. What you're feeling is not the fact that your friend left you. You feel abandoned.
Yes.
And you help that person deal with the soul problem of abandonment, and the depression will lift. Or you teach them that when you begin to feel this, do a self-inventory. I feel myself sliding into depression. I need to do something. Find out what is causing me to be depressed. What is it? Find out what it is, root it up, and then move on. My people perish. The scripture I was looking for before was 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You know, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. You know, so that it takes a cleansing. But we haven't even got to the spirit part yet. We're still talking about the soul part. Remember, we're body, soul, and spirit, you know. So more in the soul part. We talked about stress, you know. Stress is a main cause of all kind of diseases. You know, anger is a cause of all kind of diseases. Pastor Jefferson, we were talking about it, and we were saying, what about aneurysms? And she said, Doc, look up in that book and see what it says about aneurysms. And it says people that usually suffer from brain aneurysms are people who have uncontrolled anger or have some kind of anger or rage issues, you know. And it's really interesting that, like I said, that ministry is about, if you could first know this information, you could preserve your health versus you get sick and then realize, oh, that's what it is, you know. So a lot of this theology of healing is important to have as a believer so that you can prevent a lot of sicknesses and illnesses from taking over, and also in curing and finding healing for your own afflictions. So soul is very, very important, you know. There's a connection between your body and your soul. As your mind is, so goes the body. You know that depression, when it's left unchecked, can kill you. Depression can take you out of this world. And I don't mean suicide. It can shut down your body. Yeah. There are people that are finding ways now that, you know, reversing the negative emotions in their soul brings about healing to their body. And doctors are getting amazed. Wow. You know, and doctors are beginning to catch up on a little of this. Now, healing for your body. Healing for your body. Healing for your body is always important. In fact, I gave you the prescription for healing yesterday. You know, I'm going to just make a record of it real quick. Prescription for healing, number one, pray for healing. You should pray for it. You have a right as a believer to ask for it. It's part of your inheritance. You have a right to ask for it. Isaiah 53? Yeah. And by his stripes, we are healed. You have an inheritance for healing. Ask for it today. Don't ask for it later on. Don't say, God, well, the doctor says that I've got this sickness and I'm probably going to be out of work for the next 10 weeks. Ask God, I want healing right now. I have an inheritance to ask for healing right now. Because God is not a God of tomorrow. He's the great what? I am. He's the present tense. He's not tomorrow. God has never told you in his word, pray for anything for tomorrow on today. Amen. Today's evils are enough for today's prayers. Tomorrow's evils are enough for tomorrow's prayers. Amen. You know, we got enough to deal with today. And also give us this day our what? Our daily bread. We don't ask for tomorrow's bread. We ask for today's bread. Tomorrow's bread doesn't exist. Hey, my brother, God bless you. Today's bread exists for today if you ask for it. Number two, pray by faith and not by sight. Pray by faith. That means don't look at the sickness. Look to God. Don't let them tell you this is an incurable one. And God's never, that no one's ever been cured of it or healed of it before. That's garbage. God can heal anything. You know, I was looking at the news the other day. Have you heard of the Berlin patient? The Berlin patient, he was a man that contracted AIDS and he had leukemia. And they did an experimental cure. There's 4% or 0.4%, one of the two, of the white population around the world that is immune to HIV. They have like 0.4%, I think it's very, very rare. I think it's 0.4%, not 4%. But 0.4% are immune from HIV. They just can't get it. So they took the bone marrow out of one of these people that had it and they injected it as a regular therapy treatment in the Berlin patient. His name was released, but I forgot what it is. But you can Google it, Berlin, the Berlin patient. You see his whole story. And he was cured of AIDS. He was cured of HIV. He was completely HIV free. And then his leukemia went away. And then like 2 years later, his leukemia came back. But then they treated him with that same person's marrow again. And even his leukemia got cured. And they said the only problem is there's not enough people that have the immunity versus people that have the disease, or they could cure everybody. And they said this is the first man ever that's been cured of AIDS. That's garbage. He's not the first man ever. He's the first man to be medically cured by AIDS. I can't tell you how many times and how many testimonies of people that have HIV and AIDS, and God has healed them and given them a clean bill of health with no more of the disease in their body. You know, so don't pray by sight. Pray by faith. You know, in the Bible days, leprosy was incurable. No one could cure a leper. Jesus touched them, and the leprosy would vanish. He would speak to them, and they would get well. God is more powerful than any disease we ever have. Number three, I'm going to get right to you, sis, in one second. Number three, search yourself for any sins in your life and confess them. A lot of times our prayers are hindered because of the sins in our lives. You know, I think it's Psalm 68 that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm cherishing sin and I've got a secret lifestyle or a public lifestyle of sin, and I'm asking God for healing, I make my prayers invalid. I've got to confess and forsake it. Lord God, I'm sorry. I'm putting away this. Now I need your healing. Number four, search yourself for anybody that you have not extended forgiveness to. Search yourself. I've not forgiven so-and-so. I've not forgiven so-and-so. What does the Word of God say in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The only forgiveness we find is in the factor that we forgive somebody else. We put ourselves on a hook. Lord God, forgive me as I forgive so-and-so. That's heavy. Because if you don't forgive them, you find yourself trapped in unforgiveness. Remember, you forgive others to set yourself free. Yes. Not just to forgive them and set them free. Yes. Number five, wage spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's the devil acting up. And that's the third part here. When we talk about the spirit part. The devil may be acting up. The devil may be attacking. And you need to sometimes ask the Lord to rebuke the devil off and out of your body. And ask the Lord to bind up the devil. And you may find healing that way. Number six, pray with somebody else. You know, wherever two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, he's in the midst. Jesus was able to heal multitudes of people. He would just walk by and folks would touch him and find healing for their sickness. So if two or three are gathered and Jesus is in the midst, now you're in a really good place to find healing. Number seven, see a doctor. I'm not against medical advice. God does use doctors, but also pray that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and direct and give your doctor revelation and insight and wisdom to make the correct diagnosis versus a false diagnosis. The best thing you could find medically is a doctor that believes in Jesus. Amen? A doctor that believes in prayer. That's a good combination. You know, Ben Carson, you heard of Ben Carson before, right? The medical surgeon. He has such a great track record of healing because he prays over his patients in the name of Jesus. He asks God for insight and revelation and wisdom before he cuts anybody open. You know, you need a doctor like that. Amen. Sister Julia. A little bit louder so everybody can hear you. Okay, Sister Julia said, suppose that she's in the hospital and she's dying and she's sick.
And I'm praying God with every day basis with faith. You know, please help me. Please cure me. And if he doesn't, and I'm still sick, is it that he doesn't want to save me? Is it that...
No. What we're getting at from the very beginning is, and I'm going to give you a recap of what you missed, is every believer should have a theology of healing. The word theology means, theo means God, ology means study. We should have a knowledge of God, but first, does God heal? If you believe that God heals, then the next question is, how does he heal? You know, one way you mention is prayer. But if your prayer is not mingled with faith, then the prayer is useless. If you have faith without prayer, then faith is useless. You got to open your mouth and speak to God in faith. But that's where TV stops us. TV says, Well, if you prayed for it and God didn't do it, then something is wrong with you and your faith. Or something is wrong with you and your prayer. But that's not true. There's a whole theology of healing that goes beyond prayer and faith. The Word of God. And what does the Word of God teach us? It teaches us that we human beings are made of three parts. You're a body, you're a soul, and you're a spirit. Before you were born again, all you were was body and soul. When you were born again, the spiritual man in you came alive. Now you're complete, your body, soul, and spirit. The devil also knows your body, soul, and spirit. So how is the devil going to attack you? Either in your body, your soul, or your spirit. If we're only praying for things of the body, we may not even know, except for by the word of God, that there may be things in the soul that it's affecting the body. Now you asked, suppose you're on your deathbed, right? And you're praying, God, for God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me. But you've got secret sin in your life, you know, or you've got a stronghold in your life you don't want to confess, you know. Well, Lord, I love having, you know, a boyfriend in addition to my husband, and you know, and you haven't confessed it and forsaken it. Your prayer for faith is now void. Because you've got secret sin in your life. Let's say that you're on your deathbed and it's not secret sin. Let's say that it's unforgiveness. You know, you have not forgiven your sister for the time that she did so and so, and you will not release her. You make your prayer and your faith void by not releasing her through forgiveness. Let's say it's not unforgiveness. Let's say that it's a matter of bitterness. You allowed some emotion a long time ago to root a root of bitterness in your life. You don't know where it comes from, but you just have this negative attitude and you don't know what to do about it. And you're asking for healing, but the problem is not in your body that time. Now the problem's in your soul. It's the bitterness that's causing the physical symptoms. If you could find out why you're bitter, it could be something that you didn't forgive somebody for. It could be something you didn't forgive yourself for. It could be something that you are stressed out about and you've never released to God. And then when you root out the bitterness and give it to God, all of a sudden your body starts to get well. So in a theology of healing, it takes more than just these two. This is TV garbage. Oh, I'll just pray in faith that God doesn't do it. It's your fault. You didn't have enough faith. The Word of God says so much more on that. That's where we are. If God tells you it's your time, it's your time. If God doesn't tell you it's your time, you apply everything you know from the Word of God. If the doctor tells you it's your time, you still apply everything that you know from the Word of God, because the doctor is not God, you know. But a God can tell you, you know, God has told many people, it's your time. And they're saying, but Lord, we're praying, we're sending anointing oil, we're gathering in the name of Jesus, we're doing everything your word says. But that person may know, the Lord is calling me home. I don't even want to go on anymore. I'm ready to go to heaven to be with Jesus. Yeah, so that applies sometimes. And I mean, it's all up to God. But if that time is not, we're talking about the theology of healing. Okay, good. So now, so we understand that there are problems in the body. Take the prescription of healing and apply all those seven different things for your body. A couple of those apply to the soul. And the soul is an inventory of yourself. Have you not released somebody? Is somebody holding on something that you've done? Do you need to go to somebody and say, hey, I'm sorry. I know you're mad at me and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it and I'm sorry. Or I didn't mean to do it. I was wrong. And I'm sorry. Jesus says, if you go to the altar with a gift and you know your brother has something against you, you are to leave your gift there and go to your brother, make reconciliation first with your brother, and then and only then present your gift before God. If you know that people don't like you for something that you've done, you can make your prayers for healing invalid. Find out who you've offended. Number three, the spirit. The spirit. A lot of afflictions sometimes come from the devil in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm. There are so many examples in that, in the spiritual realm. In fact, let me give you one from the soul realm with Jesus. Turn with, to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew, no, sorry, I mean Mark. I don't know why I said Matthew 4. Sorry, I meant Mark. Yeah. Look at this. Mark chapter 2. We're going to start from verse 1, it's fine. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he, talking about Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, as it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many gathered together. They heard that Jesus was in the house, they gathered together, they flocked it. They wanted to be where Jesus was. Okay? Now watch this. It says, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. They heard that Jesus was in town. Why were they flocking to Jesus? Because he was in town. Because chapter 1 tells us in verse 34, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because he knew them. So he was casting out demons, he was healing the sick, he was very popular for that. People flocked to Jesus. What Jesus gave them was the word of God. Notice the parallel on that. They came with sickness, he saw their sickness, what he gave them was the word. You see? He saw that they had symptoms, but he wasn't dealing with symptoms of the body. He was dealing with problems of the soul. What they needed was the word of God. They needed to hear that they needed to forgive. They needed to hear that they needed to love. They needed to hear the truth that came from Jesus. He knows why they're there. They're there for the healing. But when they come, they give him, he gives them the gospel. Look here. And he preached the word unto them. Look at verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed, which was born or carried of four, or four men carried him. And they could not come near unto him for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy, the paralyzed person, was laying. When Jesus saw their faith, so faith is a key ingredient, it's a foundation. He said unto the sick of the palsy or the paralyzed, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He dealt with the problem in the soul. They brought him to Jesus to seek the physical body healing. Instead, Jesus first heals the soul. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Let's get this out the way so that the healing can begin. Whatever it was that had him wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up, he couldn't get a breakthrough in faith and prayer because of sin in his life. He saw their faith. He was glad for the faith. But there was a problem of sin and unforgiveness that needed to be taken away. You see that? Body-soul connection. Verse 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man speak thus blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, Jesus read their minds. Look at that. Jesus had perceived it in his spirit that they reasoned, not out loud, within themselves. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? They didn't even speak it out loud. He read their mind. Look at the answer though. He says, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Look at verse 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, he's saying to the sick and the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. He dealt with the issue of the soul before bringing healing to the body. Same Jesus we prayed to, right? Same Jesus. Same Jesus, same method, theology of healing. It goes higher, you see, than just ask God to do it. He does, he doesn't. You got to have a greater knowledge of who God is and how does he heal. Look here. There's another one I want to bring to you also. Same chapter. Turn to chapter 5, I believe. In the Gospel of Mark. Oh no, that's not the one. I think it's, sorry, wrong chapter, wrong book also. I think it's Luke chapter 11. I could be wrong though. It's one of my favorite ones. Yeah, this is good. So give me a second to find it, because it's good. It's good. It's gonna help somebody. It's gonna help somebody. Okay, hold on. Okay. Let me bust up my concordance. I'm gonna find it. I apologize for it. But the story is when a woman comes to Jesus in the need of healing. And the Jesus rebukes the spirit of infirmity. Come here, I'm gonna show you that. The spirit of infirmity. And she was loosed from her infirmities. But I'm gonna get this for you. Where is it? You find it for me? Okay. Yeah, please feel free to look for it. This is just kind of impromptu talk. I wasn't prepared for it today. So I'm just getting it. Okay. Yeah, that he bases his text on that. On the woman thou art loosed teaching he does. Okay, let me see. Let me see. I think it's Luke 8. If not, I'll give you the reference later on. It's Luke 13? Let me see. Okay. Yes. Let me see. Yes. Okay, there it is. Luke 13. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my sis. Okay. I was two chapters off. Amen. That was Jesus. Praise God. Look at Luke chapter 13. Verses 10, 11, and 12. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now we're talking about a spiritual root of illness. A doctor can't help you with a spiritual root of illness, but Jesus can. Now watch. She had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Jesus cast out that spirit. You're loosed from your infirmity. That spirit of infirmity was cast out and the woman was well. Look at verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So first Jesus casts out the devil, then he lays hands on her for healing. Sometimes the devil has got to be rooted out of the equation for healing to take place. Sometimes the sicknesses that we endure are demonic attacks. It's real. Yeah. The verse 11 says the spirit of it had a spirit of infirmity. There was a demon there, a demonic spirit that was bringing a sickness to her. So when Christ loosed her from that spirit, the next thing he does is lay hands on her. When you go through every level, right, yeah. When you go through every level, you've prayed, you've had faith, you've gone through a self-inventory. Do I have any sins in my heart I'm not letting go? Have I forgiven every person that's offended me? And you go through the self-inventory and the healing still hasn't come, then next you wage spiritual warfare. That's where that comes in. Spiritual warfare and healing is so important.
I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah.
That have not been able to clean myself all the way up to it.
You don't have to be perfect for healing.
I like it.
No, all you've got to be is have a clear conscience. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want it anymore. Lord, forgive me for being unforgiving. Lord, forgive me for X, Y, and Z sins. There are certain sins sometimes that they just hold on to us, you know. And nobody knows about this. But when it comes to you and your healing, it's time to say, God, I don't want that anymore either. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes we just cherish sins and we hold on to stuff we have no business holding on to. You know? When we say, Lord, I'm even sorry for what I'm holding on to. You don't have to be walking perfect and upright. You need to have a perfect and upright heart before God.
Amen.
Yes. I don't want you and this sin. I just want you, God. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like the story of the monkey and the coconut. You know how you catch a monkey? You put a banana inside of a coconut. And that monkey smells that banana. He sticks his hand in that coconut and he grabs it by making a fist. He had to do like that with his hand to get in there. Now he's got a big old fist holding a banana. He can't get his hand out the coconut. All the hunter has to do is go over behind the monkey and bop, hit him. If he did not release that banana, he was dead. If he released that banana, he would be alive. He could escape. He could be free. That's how sin is with us. You know, little pet sins, we cherish onto it and we don't want to let it go. But if it's standing in our need of healing, we're a fool not to let it go.
Amen.
Let it go so the healing can flow. You see what I'm saying? Say amen or say ouch. Okay, Brother Lewis. I'll let him write it down. Yeah, that was in the works. That was in the works.
Okay.
Here you go. My handwriting's kind of sloppy.
So you have an idea first.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, bad Stephanie.
Okay, so I have a question. Okay, because like you said, if a person has secret sin, right?
Yeah.
They know that there is secret sin in their lives, right? And knowing that here is a remedy, right?
Yes.
I don't know if everyone got the remedy, but I just know that what the Word of God says to people, even if they don't have this whole, you know, remedy here, they know that God has already said for anything to happen, we have to empty out everything.
Correct.
So to do that and know that if you empty out everything, God will bring healing to you and He will set you free. Now, I don't know how, like with the steps or anything like that, but we know that God can do anything.
Correct.
But knowing that God can do these things, my question to you is, then why? I mean, again, it could be deception, deceiver, whatever, but still I'm going to ask the question anyway. Then why would not a person want to let go knowing that they can get healing in the mind, in the heart, in the soul, for their whole being, knowing that God can do it? Would it be deception that...
Some actually strongholds.
Now, okay, so stronghold, is it something, it would be something that's holding on whatever that sin?
A stronghold is a sin you don't think you can do without.
Okay, so...
That's what a stronghold is.
Okay, so wait.
You think you need to survive, you need that sin in your life.
Okay, so let's just say, and I'll end it real quick, but let's just say they know that that sin in their life, that stronghold that they know that they really don't need, but they want it.
Right.
So it's not that you need it, it's that you want it and you don't want to let go. So do you want healing?
No, not really. It's Wang versus the other. What do I really want, my stronghold or my healing? My stronghold, I can live with the pain. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. Christ offers freedom, and our folks don't want to be free.
Right.
You know? Okay. So, the spirit. Sometimes the devil is involved. And I know it sounds... Stephanie? Sure.
You just made me forget it. But still, okay, the thing is, like you said, some people don't want to be healed, but then they say they want to be healed. Then I mean,
they want their cake and they want to eat it too. They want to be healed on their terms. You can't be healed on your terms. You got to be healed on God's terms. It's a theology of healing. But we human beings, we want that. We want our cake and we want to eat it too. But then how bad do you want it? You know, how bad do you want it? That's the question. You know?
That's why Jesus often asked the person before, "Wilt thou be healed?"
Do you want to be healed? Right. Correct. Brother Caesar?
He also asked them if they have faith. If you have faith, you'll be healed. My question is also, sister, is that people know one thing, they don't want to deal with that one thing, they just want to do what they want to do, like you say, the cake and eat too, and have the cake and eat too. But people believe, like, when Jesus was here, when Jesus was healing, people didn't, they saw this, but then when it was time for Jesus to say, you know, it was time for Jesus to go to the cross, they didn't believe him, they didn't care, they just left them, they left them up. You know, they could have said, you got somebody that killed, robbed, and molested.
And you got a good point, though.
And he could have been crucified.
That's right.
He was doing all these things, and they saw it, just like Jesus was doing.
Correct.
But they what they made is selfish and thought about this.
That's true. If Christ had healed me, I think I might be, hey, don't kill him. He healed me. He killed a lot of people. You're right. He fed a lot of people. And they still let him get crucified. That's pretty jacked up. But that's human nature.
I'm just thinking about that. Where are all those people?
Sister Justice has risen up. I call Sister Karen the champion of rightness and fairness. You're right though, right?
No, I just now thought of that.
I didn't either, just because Caesar brought it up. You're right.
People out there that came, but I'm saying, even if Pontius Pilate decided that this crucifixion is going on, how much leverage could those people have really had?
Actually, Paul didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to find an excuse to beat Jesus and let him go. Yeah. Yep. Correct. And Barabbas was a no-brainer. They knew they should give up Barabbas or Rome was going to come down on them. So saying, we give us Barabbas was insanity. You basically say, we want to revolt against Rome as long as you kill Jesus. He gave them no choice. Who would you rather be killed? You know, Mother Teresa of Calcutta or Adolf Hitler? We want Adolf Hitler to be saved. Kill Mother Teresa. It was like a, what? I gave you a no-brainer. You're supposed to choose Hitler. He wanted them to choose Barabbas. That's why he chose Barabbas. It was a murderer and a thief and an insurrectionist. Yes, sir. Okay.
So it was like Moses. Moses did this wonderful thing with God in him and opened up the sea. That's enough for us to say, well, let's get on our knees and let's...
Should be.
They still did what they want to do. They were praising some other stuff. They were praising some other...
That's right.
They was doing everything. When he came down, he was like, well, whoa.
That's right.
What's going on here?
And they gave Aaron their jewelry. Thank you. And they gave Aaron their jewelry.
Right.
And Aaron was like, here's a golden calf. This is the God that took you out of Egypt. Yes. Okay. It was insanity. But back to the theology of healing. The spiritual aspect is very, very important. A lot of sicknesses, especially a lot of mental illnesses, are the result of demonic attack and activity. A lot of people are affected spiritually by the devil and they don't even know it. They're going to a doctor and they say, you know what, I'm hearing voices, or you know what, I've got this problem and that problem, and the psychiatrist says, here's a prescription. That's not going to root out the devil. It's not going to exorcise the demon. You know, one thing also is, when all else has failed, wage spiritual warfare. You've said, Lord, I have forgiven everyone that's offended me. Lord, I have sought forgiveness for everything that I've done to you and other people. Lord, I've been praying and I've been having faith and I've been seeking you. I'm touching and agreeing with people and we're coming to you, but I'm not getting the victory. What's wrong? You might need to bind up the devil in your life. Lord God of rebuke, I do it all the time. Lord God of rebuke, if there's a spirit of infirmity attacking me, Lord God, rebuke the devil right now in the name of Jesus. Apply the balm of Gilead, and I'm taking authority. You know, you have more authority than the devil. The devil has no right to your body, no right to your mind, no right to your heart. In the name of Jesus, I've been healed. Satan, get out of my body. Get out of my mind. Get out of my heart. It's important. It's important. A lot of believers don't know. God bless you, sis. Take care. A lot of believers don't know that the affliction in their mind is not chemical only. It's the devil sometimes affecting that. Hold on. And there's a thing in the Word of God that says you are to take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Jesus Christ. Your own thoughts can drive you mad. Your own thoughts can drive you mad. You think about things and you think about the wrong thing all the time and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to get it under control. You grab it and you give it to Jesus. Lord God, this thought is ungodly. I'm giving it to you. I found so many times, there was a student that we had in our Bible class that suffered from demonic attacks in her mind, in her spirit, affecting her soul. And she just would not fight. I said, all you've got to do is renounce Satan and fight. All you got to do is ask the Lord to cast out the devil and fight. You've got to start taking these thoughts captive and making them obedient to God. I can't stop thinking about murder. I can't stop thinking about killing. Take that thought captive and give it to God. I will not be dwelling upon this. I'm going to dwell on the things of God. And Christ will reach down and root it out. Because he's stronger than anything that the devil can do. A lot of times we don't get the healing that we need because we're not going by the word of God. Brother Lewis, and then I want to go back to one thing really important. That's right.
So I mean, sometimes God may use the prayer of the group of believers to help the person who's in the situation. Because I don't think the problem has gotten to that. It all comes from God without your intervention and with all of us praying together.
Correct.
So I'm just saying.
That's where it applies. That's step six.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. So we come together in the name of Jesus. A last and final note on the theology of healing. I'm sorry we didn't go into Ephesians 6 and finish it today. But on the final note of the theology of healing, this was such a breakthrough for me. And I'm going to share it with you. I've shared it before. Turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 4. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And I want everybody to get this. Okay, check this out. There is a promise in the Word of God called rest. Rest. When you're at rest, you're in a position of peace and stability. Stability, and I'm going to put down, and refreshment. And you're refreshed. When you found rest, It's a good thing. Have you ever gone out and you were active and you were busy all day? You might have worked out at the gym, and then you might have went to work, or you might have went to work and then went to the gym, or you might have visited five people today and did all this activity and run to all these different things, and when you come home, you're exhausted. And the only thing you can think in your mind at the end of the day is, I can't wait to go to bed. I can't wait to be in my bed. I can't wait. You know what I'm talking about? You can't wait. You can't wait to get to a position of rest. Rest. This marker is failing me again. Okay, let's try the green one. You want to get to a place of rest. You want rest. Because in rest you find peace, you find stability, you find you're refreshed. You know, you find everything is good when you're at rest. Human beings are on a search for rest. Believe it or not, we are on a search for rest. We're not on a search for happiness. Because happiness is temporary. Happiness is fickle. Happiness is monetary. You know, for example, you know, Sister Julia says, here goes $100, and she puts it in my hand. Am I going to be happy? Absolutely. I'm going to be really happy. But when the $100 is spent, am I still going to be happy? No. So I'm going to need another $100. You see what I'm saying? And then another. Happiness is fickle. Happiness is fickle. If I needed $1,000 for a specific procedure that's going to save my life, and she gives me $100, I'm not going to be happy. Same $100, different situation. I'm no longer. Happiness is fickle. Don't live your life pursuing happiness. Live yourself pursuing God, because God will give you rest. He'll give you peace, stability, and He'll refresh you. You know? All throughout the Word of God, we find the rest. Human beings are created. God takes that seventh day and He rests with them. What does that rest mean? He found His refreshment. He found stability with His creation, and human beings and God were at peace. There was peace between us and God. We were great together, and then we sinned. Then we sinned, there's a gap. There's no peace between us and God. There's instability. We're not refreshed. So then the humanity gets as wicked as it gets in the times of Noah. And God sends a flood and He wipes the entire humanity out of the way. What does the name Noah mean? Rest. Rest. It was a second opportunity and chance for human beings to find rest. When the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage and they were tired for working 400 years, God gave them the Ten Commandments. And one of the commandments said what? Rest. Rest. Take this time to find peace, stability, and refreshment. Rest. But Israel said, forget it. I don't want your covenant, God. I don't want your Ten Commandments, God. And then Jesus comes. And Jesus says these words in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 and 29. You don't need to turn there. You can just listen to it if you want to. But Matthew chapter 11, listen to the words of Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Which means that if you really want to find what peace and stability and refreshment is like, you got to find Jesus. Jesus is the source of all rest and refreshment and peace and stability and everything you need. That rest is in Jesus. And it's not just rest for your body. It's rest for your soul. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4. Watch here. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says in verse 4, for He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest from the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, it says, if they shall enter into my rest. So the Hebrews tell you something I did. God told you the seventh day, hey, let's rest, let's give you peace, stability, refreshment, and yet we walked away from that through sin, and God says, I still want to give you rest. Look at verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of belief. What is it saying? It's saying that some are going to get it, but the ones that were given the first opportunity didn't want it. That music is too loud, isn't it? You don't hear it? Okay. All right. It says, it was given to the Jews. Here goes rest in the fourth commandment. The Jew says, I don't want it. I don't believe in you, God. I don't want what you got for me. But some were going to get this rest. So how does God do it? Look at the next verse, verse 7. It says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David or the book of Psalms, today. In the past, God said seventh day. But in the newness, Jesus says today. So if you need peace, stability, and refreshment for God, do you need to wait for the seventh day, or can you go to God today? Today. So he limited a certain day, saying in David or the Psalms, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you approach God with an easy heart, he'll give you rest, peace, stability, refreshment. Look here. For if Jesus, and that's actually the Greek word for Joshua in the Old Testament. It's not talking about our Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people named Jesus, right? Okay, but there's only one Jesus Christ. Okay, this is talking about Joshua from the Old Testament. It says, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward had spoken about another day. If the Jews had done their job finding rest in God, God would not have to change a day from the seventh day to a new day called today. But because they broke his commandments, God set aside a new day. You want to break my covenant? I'm still going to give you rest if you want it. Some of you are going to get it. That day is now called today. Look here. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest also ceased from his own works as God did from his. God stopped working. He rested. How did God rest? Was God tired after 6 days? No. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. The word rest means he enjoyed his creation. I made Adam. I made Eve. I love them so much. I'm not even going to create. I'm just going to enjoy. He found peace, stability, and refreshment in the things that he made. The idea is like it's a really hot day, it's 105 degrees, and you got all your ice cubes out your freezer, and you pour it in all that water, and it's ice cold, and you put in that Kool-Aid packet and a cup of sugar, and you're mixing it up. Now you're sweating bullets, and you're mixing it up, but you know how good that Kool-Aid is going to taste when you drink it down. Right? You find yourself refreshed. Now look here. I'm actually going somewhere with the theology of healing. Don't fade away on me yet. Okay, watch. Let us labor, verse 11, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. To get your faith, to get your healing, faith is needed. To get not your healing, unbelief is needed. If you don't want to be healed, then just don't believe. If your theology of healing says, does God heal? No, you don't get your healing. No problem. If you want that healing, if you want that rest for your body, peace, stability, refreshment, it's the same thing with healing. You enter in by faith. Watch here. Look at verse 12. And you'll never forget this verse or see it the same ever again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when it says the word of God, this is the case. It's not talking about your Bible. It's not. The actual word for the word of God is the Logos of God. Who is the Logos of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what it's talking about. How do you know? For Jesus Christ, as the word of God, is quick. That word quick means alive, or he's living. He is powerful. He is sharper than any two-edged sword. He will pierce even the dividing of soul from spirit. Can the Bible split your soul from your spirit? No. Can Jesus? Yes. He's got all power. Look. And of the joints and marrow. Now I call this divine revelation before its time. I like that. Divine revelation before its time. It mentions here joint and marrow. He'll split even joint from marrow. Where's the marrow found in your body? Inside your bones. Now, I really believe that the writer of Hebrews did not even know what he was talking about, but he was led by the Spirit to write it. He said, Lord, I understand soul from spirit, but how does joint from marrow play into Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ will split joint from marrow. You know what scientists know about marrow? What do scientists know about marrow? Marrow is the source of all healing or disease. They are just finding that out now. This is new information for science. But the Bible let us know that if you need healing, Jesus can go way down into your marrow and release the healing that you need. People wondered, how did people get healed of AIDS? How did the HIV just vanish? They didn't take a bone marrow transplant from a person that was immune to AIDS. Jesus got down into their marrow. And he released the healing into the body from the marrow. They didn't know that 2,000 years ago. But God knew. And God told the writer, you may not understand what I'm saying, but I'm God. And there's something about the marrow. That if you need healing, Jesus is able to go way down deep and cure any disease that's in your body, that cures any sickness that you are afflicted with. Jesus is the answer. Now watch this. Look at the rest of the verse. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows whether the healing you need is in your body or if it's in your soul. He is able to discern the thoughts and the intent. He sees the unforgiveness, like in that paralyzed man. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, take up your bed and walk. He was able to get in the body, in the marrow, and he's able to get into the heart and the mind and the emotions. He's able to bring healing at its root cause. Do you need healing? Jesus can do it. He can do it in your body by going into the marrow. Do you need mental healing? Jesus can do it because he can get into those thoughts, in those hard to reach thoughts, in those hard to reach temptations, in those hard to reach things that just won't leave my mind alone. Jesus is able to get down in there and bring some healing to it. The theology of healing is real. God is real. Don't let anybody tell you on TV, if you didn't get healing, it's because you didn't have enough faith. It may be you didn't truly explore the Word of God and what God has to say and do about healing. The sad part is, this is what every believer should have known. This is what every church should have been teaching, and every believer should be practiced in this theology of healing. But we got more members on more medicine, and they are not finding relief, they're not finding well-being, they're not finding their healing. Because we perish for a lack of knowledge, we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I think so. I got it here. The theology of healing. Any questions or comments before we close? Did anybody learn something out of this?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. Praise. I've been wanting to teach this for a while now. I just want to make sure I finish Book of Revelation first. Amen. Okay. And we'll definitely do that. So, all right. Let's all stand and dismiss. I told you, never say that verse again. Now, y'all saw that verse before about the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. But now you really see that it was always Jesus. He is a discerner, not the Bible. The Bible can't read your mind. The Bible can't split your soul from your spirit. And the Bible sure can't get in your marrow. But Jesus can. The source of healing was always with Jesus. He made the body and he knows how to make the body well. You know that? He knows how to make the body well. When he touched him, he was touching deep down in that marrow and releasing the healing out of that body. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord, to seek your word and get revelations from your word, Lord God, that you might speak to us powerfully, Lord. And help us, Lord God, to take what we learned today in the theology of healing and apply it to our lives and apply it to our loved ones, Lord God, so that when sickness or illness or disease comes up, we'll go through the right methods by going through you and going through your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Give everybody a safe trip home and bring us back together again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.